There's a new show of new work by Chris Hassig called Line of Totality, along with new sculpture from Elliot Norquist, and it hangs at the launch pad until November 8th. This show highlights the abstract drawings Chris has been focusing on for the past year. These drawings initially drew inspiration from geologic cross-sections of rock layers. Chris has been using a horizontally banded organizing principle that encompasses wide experimentation in pattern, form, color, mark making, intensity, allusion, and atmosphere. That's a lot. Chris Hassig joins Express Yourself today to talk about this show and his work. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, yeah.
Well put. Did you write that?
I did write that, to some degree.
To some degree?
I think it had been, I don't remember exactly, but I think it had been a little bit of a collaboration. But.
Well, I have to ask about Line of Totality, because I happen to know that you went up to Wyoming to see the total eclipse.
Uh-huh.
Was that the inspiration for the show's title?
Uh-huh. Elliot actually came up with the name, but I thought it was great, so we ran with it. And yeah, I had a totally awesome experience with the seeing the full eclipse in the north end of the Wind Rivers. And
how about that? Yeah, I wasn't too far from there either.
Yeah.
It was pretty inspiring, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a totally, definitely sets you in line with the cosmos or whatever. So
has that inspired your work since? Has it found its way into your work? That experience?
Maybe. I started doing a number of I guess you could call them drawings that were actually done on panel that didn't make it into the show. They didn't really get get to where I wanted them to get. They're still experimental phase right now. But they were playing off of sort of a motif that I started with, this one called Osmosis, which is this piece that's in the show over at the launch pad. And I used a lot of little tiny squares of tape to tape off a field of black, and then little dots through, and then put charcoal to make this black field.
So you used tape to tape those off. I was going to ask about that, because that was one of the more arresting pieces.
I thought that one was pretty successful. So I wanted to see if I could figure out, and it seemed like when I was starting to do these panel ones, it seemed like a good one to test, because I've been experimenting with this process of using an etching needle, basically, to painting the surface of these boards, and then having a gesso layer underneath, and then etching through back to a white. So that basically using a totally different technique to try to get the same.
So it's a process of removal as opposed to addition.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Is that a new direction for you and your work?
Yeah, I haven't mainly the kind of the medium of painting more with the these panels, and as opposed to working on paper. I still haven't gotten that right, but I'm going to keep experimenting with it. And it's kind of nice, because it ends up being it doesn't get framed. It just ends up being a body of work that's there in front of you more immediately. It doesn't have to get surrounded with other material.
Uh-huh. Well, I would like to start by sort of dissecting that blog post that I just read as an intro that you wrote.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot in there, you know. Where do we start? You talk about encompassing wide experimentation in allusion and atmosphere. So you explain that. What is it alluding to? What is your work alluding to, Chris Hassig?
Well, you know, so it starts from a totally abstract beginning, where I'm simply just dividing the paper into sort of horizontal stripes. And then usually I start with just sort of textures of different sorts. And the textures are, while it's still in sort of the textural phase of different marks and things like that, it's often doesn't allude to very much, but oftentimes as I work through the drawing, and there's a lot of layering of things and sort of fading from one pattern to another and stuff, you start sort of, it's, oftentimes it sets up this sort of horizon line in a lot in some of the drawings. And so then you sort of get this allusion to landscape, essentially.
I see.
And so it becomes kind of a, both a diagram of a sort of, you know, a kind of, what's the word? Sort of not based in reality, but kind of imagined diagram. Yeah, not fantastical, not like that far out.
Okay.
But, you know, a diagram of the landscape sort of cutting through into the earth as you would into a geologic cross section of layers of sediment and stuff like that. But then at the same time, looking into the, you sort of get a sense of depth and that's sort of the atmosphere and the illusion aspect of it. And so it sort of happens in some of them, and other ones it doesn't happen. It's kind of, what I've liked about this process is it's very, it's sort of, I've set up some rules for myself to sort of just like make it easier almost on myself to not just have a, you know, just to like work within some boundaries, but then within there, I'm mostly just sort of responding to what I've done before and working in an iterative way through the work.
Various iterations, sedimentary.
Yeah.
Layer upon layer upon layer upon pattern.
Yeah.
Do you, when you're making all your marks, I guess we'll get to that now, because it's certainly one of the distinguishing aspects of your work is the mark making. I mean, they're so fine. You're working in pen and ink often. You're also working in graphite, charcoal, I guess, also. When you start a work, do you have patterns in mind, or do the patterns arise organically as you go?
Usually I have to, usually I start with one pattern of some sort that, I don't know, we'll take up one of the fields or bands or whatever in the drawing. Because I usually do start with the pen and ink, mostly just out of practicality, just because it's, especially with charcoal and pastel, it's really hard to work. You kind of want to be done with it, the drawing, after that's gone to on, because it so smudges itself so easily.
Yeah.
Usually I'd start with one, and then usually I would either continue it in other parts of the drawing or, you know, create another pattern that's sort of a taking that same concept and either doing it in a larger way or, just sort of riffing on what I've already done before. So,
well, very, very, very dense detail.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that can't really happen as a plan. It sort of happens, it's happenstance, I'm guessing, but maybe I'm wrong. You tell me.
Once I start, a lot of them are very repetitive. So once I start drawing one pattern and I sort of have an idea of where it's going to go, I can kind of plan that much of it, which is, you know, maybe a 18 inch, or not, like 4x10 inch, 13 inch maybe band or something like that. So I can plan that much of it, but then, then usually it gets sort of, I don't know, mixed in with other things and yeah.
You know, it's so dense that with detail that, it sort of provides an optical illusion. I mean, from across the room, the painting looks different than when you get up close to it.
Uh-huh.
And that's an interesting effect.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've been playing with a lot in my art, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years, because the drawings I was doing before were these grass drawings, which were insanely detailed in the same sense, but much more pictorial of drawing a, you know, looking into the grass, into a, you know, a field of grass, and then there's all kinds of things hidden in there, and there's all sorts of leaves and flowers and blades of grass intertwining with each other, and so there's all of this detail to be discovered when you get up close, but if you go far across the room, then it would just disappear into this sort of gray, simple gray. And so that made me really cognizant. That actually sort of led to these drawings in a lot of ways, because you know, those started out as You know, for me, I think probably what is at the root of why my art looks the way it is because I am sort of conditioned to a drawing state of mind and working at a small scale. And so all of these are usually the product of sort of taking something that I've thought about at a small scale and working at things close and then kind of expanding it into a larger realm. And so the grass drawings, they immediately, once I finished the first one that wasn't just a little sketch that I had, once I took it inside and made it a studio project, immediately there were sort of questions of composition, basically. And getting far away, you'd have a totally different idea of what the work was. And so I was sort of interested in that and in the more just sort of like the, just the form of the work as much as the content. And so these sort of jettisoned a lot of the content except for what people can kind of allude to or bring in themselves into the abstraction. So.
Well, there is one grass piece in the show, right? What is it? Sifted? Sifting.
Sifting, yeah.
Sifting, which is a triangle and an inverted triangle, and within the triangles are the grass drawings.
Yeah, it sort of resembles an hourglass to some degree.
Uh-huh. And in fact, you have an hourglass hiding in the grass, don't you?
Yes.
As well as a little tiny sign that says, "Have a nice day." I like that.
the grass drawings are, they still are interesting to me. I think I might do more of those, but I wanted to, you know, I've done maybe 15 of them all together.
Oh.
And, of varying sizes.
Uh-huh.
And so I felt like I had sort of gotten to all the obvious, done the obvious sort of shapes, I guess, or compositions that I, without having to sort of start repeating myself or maybe just getting a little bit contrived or something like that. So
I wonder about the actual physical aspect of you and how you work. For instance, there's so much detail and it's so fine that I'm picturing, well, first of all, what you're working on, is it flat on a table and you're hunching over it?
Yeah.
Is that how you work? Or is it on a wall? Is it on an easel?
Yeah,
what is
I work on a drafting table. Oh. So, and that, I think, definitely influences. I don't think I've ever done a piece of art standing up.
Oh, interesting.
Except maybe in, you know, sort of extreme, sort of one-off circumstances.
So it's not like a Jackson Pollock dance.
No,
it's something else.
It would be interesting to try to nurture my skill at, you know, so most of my competency is really in like the realm of sort of fine motor muscle movements and not the larger gross arm movements and
exactly
stuff.
Well, does your hand ever get tired? I mean, it must cramp up sometimes. How do you handle that? How does that work?
Yeah, well, getting ready for this show, for some reason, I just wanted to finish. I sort of wanted, I wanted two other big-ish drawings to complement the one, that Osmosis one that was the black squares. And so I did those two sort of up against the wall. And
Deadline-driven.
Yeah, I'm great with deadlines.
Are you?
I like deadlines, and... Uh-huh. And I knew I wouldn't do it if I didn't just do it. So,
right.
And the first one was great, and that was fine. But the second one, for some reason, I picked these tiny little dots. It's like, what was I thinking? and that one really came down to the wire, and I did have a very sore hand. But luckily, I mean, yeah, we'll see.
You know,
I've been lucky so far.
I'm picturing in my mind the way a surgeon works, and I'm thinking that, you know, a surgeon is making a deep cut with a very sharp knife, but it must be a very light touch because if you go too far, you're screwed. And, I mean, you're not screwed. The patient is screwed.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if there's that dynamic working. Have you found yourself having to lighten up, and does that does that make it easier to execute what you're seeing in your mind?
Uh-huh.
How does that work?
I think I was at the end of that, I was really trying to like think of it very like light touch, but it is interesting. That's sort of an interesting thing because, when you are dealing with these very fine marks that are being repeated over and over again, the slightest change in your way of drawing them you can't really see it up close, but then you can get away from it and it'll manifest itself. You can see sort of variations in things. Uh-huh. And that can sometimes be really cool and interesting if something is, I don't know if I have a specific example, but there have been times where I've sort of started, I've gotten more impatient or something and started getting looser and sort of whipping the pen a little bit more at the end. And
it creates
maybe puts a little bit more ink down at the first, and then so you sort of get more of like almost a miniaturized brush stroke instead of like a pen line at the scale.
If you're working in pen and ink, can you reverse a mark? I mean, once it's on there, isn't it? I mean, and does it ever, I mean, you must, how many hours does it take to produce one of these pieces? Just curious.
I don't really know. It's kind of it depends on, like those big ones, I worked pretty fast on those. But the way I avoid, I try to mix it up and I only spend like 3 or 4 hours doing something like insanely repetitive like that.
Uh-huh.
And sort of that's a way to try not to strain yourself too much. But like those final ones, I think those were 2 or 3 days. 3 days a piece, basically, and those were pretty full days. So
I'm picturing at the nearing the tail end of the third day, and you've put however many hours you've put into it, and you make a big mistake.
Uh-huh.
You smudge the charcoal, or there's a blob of ink that just ruins it. Has that ever happened? And do you have, what happens if that happens? Do you
never? It's never happened in those kind of circumstances where I'm like, really want to frame this thing right away. I have made the cool thing about these ones, at least, is that they are so layered and iterative that sometimes those things lead to cool things where I end up, you end up sort of building it up over to deal with places that I decided I didn't like or something like that. So and sometimes you get somewhere totally unexpected.
So there's not a lot of room for mistakes, and so consequently you don't make any. Is, is that sort of what I'm hearing?
Well,
the pressure.
I would say the pen and ink, for some reason, I'm pretty good. I just have it figured out how to do it and not really. And it's this tiny little pen. The ink dries pretty much instantaneously.
Oh, really?
And so it's just mostly a matter of, put the cap on the pen and put it on this. And the charcoal is really the tricky one.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that because the potential for smudging is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're executing these fine marks, are you resting your hand on the paper or is your hand off the paper and you're?
Yeah. Usually I have another piece of paper underneath the heel of my hand.
Okay.
That's just, especially in the summertime, if my hand will sweat just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It only takes like most minor amount of sweat to start warping the paper underneath. So usually I have another thick piece of paper between my hand, and then it's just rested on
that. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, Well, I went in yesterday and I saw your show and I sat there for an hour looking at at the pictures and, I saw a couple of red dots on the labels next to. So I asked Stacy, "Does that mean they were sold?" And she goes, "Yeah." So you sold a couple pieces on this one.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like selling things to people in Carbondale, and I had pretty good success in Aspen in the last couple of years. Just was at this little gallery up there, and people do buy art in Aspen, but. It's nice to, I like the idea of my art, being in my hometown and and not all ending up in Silicon Valley or New York or something. Or
that's cool. That's a great
Dallas.
Thing. Huh. Well, you've also had a show in Denver, right? You've done
I did a pop-up show down in Denver where I took over an architecture office thing for, they have a First Friday down there on Santa Fe Drive, and I just sort of mounted my own show. It's a tough nut to crack, figuring out the business of art. I mean, that's what's wonderful about places like the Launchpad, is they're very sort of, I feel like they're pretty kind of meritocracies to a large degree, and they're focused on nurturing people locally. But I went down into the jungle of Denver and had a hard time with trying to even get audiences with galleries or anything. So it's hard to figure out how to actually.
You have to do something notorious, right?
I guess so.
It's not necessarily about the art. It's about the spectacle in Manhattan.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah. Definitely there. I would say maybe it's more in Denver. I think you can. There are lots of galleries and stuff. I think you just have to find the right person who knows the right. It's a lot of who you know. So.
Huh.
I don't know. We'll work on it.
So what's next for Chris Hassig?
I don't have any shows beyond this one, so everyone should come see this one.
Yeah, well, it's worth seeing. It is.
And it's got a lot of work in it. I had a little bit of a, so mostly I'm trying to find a gallery either in Denver or Aspen or something like that. And I want to go back to my map project probably at some point.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of, I put that thing off to the side for a year here, and I don't know, might be, I like, you know, I sort of tend to work in sort of 7 or 8 month or maybe year long enthusiasms, and then
mm-hmm. take a little break and then
go into some other.
Go to Wyoming, see an eclipse, come back, do some more work.
Yeah, or go back to grass, or go back to maps, or I don't know, sort of have sort of 4 or 5 pots that I can jump into if I want to. So.
Nice. Chris Hassig, thanks for joining Express Yourself today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you talk about your art. It's interesting work.
Thanks.
I'm not that up on the art scene, but it strikes me that what you're doing is probably unique. Am I right?
I mean, I hear from people about, like, you know, there's nothing exactly like it, but there's if you go out in the world, there are people do often say, oh, you should look at this website, and so then you see somebody else who's maybe got the similar obsessive
right,
but
huh. Yeah, well, it's interesting work, and I don't know if you're familiar with Gregory Bateson, but he was an anthropologist. He was married for 20 years to Margaret Mead.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote several books in the 70s. He got onto this idea of patterns, and his whole mantra was he was looking for the pattern that connects. And everything he did in his investigations, psychological, anthropological, was all about finding the pattern that connects.
Wow.
And it's an interesting thing, because I think the brain is probably wired that way. And what you're dealing with your art is a brain-like thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting, the anthropological thing. I think these also do have an allusion to some degree, too. Prehistoric art, which is sort of the first impulse of art. A lot of times when you look at the really old, you know, Sumerian things and stuff, or
hieroglyphic.
Indian, yeah, people start with sort of repeated patterns.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the first impulse of art.
Wow. Chris, I could talk with you for hours about this stuff, but unfortunately we have to go.